Everybody, welcome to the March 1st afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Udaly?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Good afternoon.
Sorry, my eyesight.
You're new to this, so we're going to cut you some slack.
It was in here, and it just moved, and I apologize. I thought I had it out. All right. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony on council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for your help, helping your fellow Portlanders, feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Agenda item. It is report. We do have invited testimony, but we do not have open testimony on reports. Carla, can you please read the one item?
Mm-hmm. Item 205, accept report of the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to introduce the report of the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force, a work group that was authorized to convene by the resolution we passed last spring. Before we begin, however, I would like to take a moment to acknowledge our mayor and my fellow commissioners, who all continue to demonstrate a commitment to enacting policies and practices that protect our immigrant and refugee communities. Since the resolution was passed last year, the city has taken a series of actions, which include committing $100,000 toward legal services, revising PPB's policy directive 81010, which clearly sets out the city's sanctuary policies, and filing a series of amicus briefs challenging the federal administration on a variety of actions that unfairly target immigrants. This past year has demonstrated to us that now more than ever, cities must be the ones to address our most pressing issues, and I'm grateful that our council is rising to that challenge. I should also note that community members have always been at the forefront of responding to crises. It is important for government to learn from the expertise that exists in our communities, which is why I want to thank everyone who served on the task force, most of whom are here today. Could everyone that served on the task force maybe just raise your hand? Thank you. I would also like council to know the extraordinary level of commitment task force members have exhibited. Originally, the intention was for there to be 3 total meetings. Task force participants voluntarily added 3 additional meetings, including 2 on Sundays, in order to refine the recommendations and prepare for today's presentation. And I want to commit to matching the level of urgency and seriousness demonstrated by these members. Finally, I just want to note that this is Oni's first big project under new leadership. I appreciate the role Oni and the New Portlanders has played in ensuring that the authentic voice of task force participants is reflected in this report. So thank you to Director Rhee and Oni staff and also to Winta Johannes from my office, none of whom I can see right now, but...
They're over there.
Oh, hi, guys. Okay. Unless any of my council colleagues would like to add anything else?
Thank you very much. Okay. Chloe, I want to just acknowledge that last night I had the honor of representing the council at a Sanctuary City discussion that was part of Everybody Reads at Multnomah County, and it was a good turnout at the Multnomah County Library. I was joined by Asana Lawrence and Mariana Garcia Medina on my team. And one of the questions that came up from the audience is, where are we going next? So the timing of this is perfect. I said, please come to City Hall on Thursday, and you'll hear the recommendations and next steps. So thank you both for your leadership.
All right. I would like to invite Director Ree up. You know, they never did tell me what the proper term for this table is. Is there a proper term?
The big table.
The large, old, stately-looking table.
All
it's
right.
Hard to move.
Sorry I asked. Welcome, Director Ree.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, Saltzman, and Fish. Thank you for this opportunity to present the report and recommendations of the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force. Today's presentation is in three parts. In the first part, we will share background on the task force creation and the relationship with the New Portlanders Policy Commission. The second part is invited testimony from task force members who will share the realities confronted by immigrant and refugee communities, the organized community response, and the perspective of our youth leaders. The third part is a presentation by three task force members on the report's four recommendations. Each part is presented by a different panel. We request that each panel be allowed to present the remarks in total and that council ask their questions at the end of each panel presentation. I start with the background on the task force creation. Only our Native American communities are from this place. There is no modern-day Portland, Oregon, without the migrations of peoples to this region from all over the continent and all over the world. In 2016, the City Council established the New Portlander Policy Commission to advise on policies and practices to integrate immigrant and refugee communities' voices and needs into the life of the city, into its city services, its decision-making, and civic engagement in Portland. Last year, in March 2017, the City Council adopted Resolution 36277, declaring Portland a welcoming, inclusive sanctuary city for all. It was stated within the resolution that the city shall coordinate with school district, regional, statewide, and federal leaders and convene a work group to coordinate efforts to support immigrant and refugee communities. In October of last year, the Office of Commissioner Udaly and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement was tasked to convene this group, and we did so in partnership with the New Portlanders Policy Commission. The task force charge was to develop a set of recommendations and priorities for the City of Portland, focusing on the coordination efforts with emphasis on protecting individuals and communities targeted for deportation. The task force is a cross-section of critical perspectives needed to fulfill the task force charge. It includes six representatives from the entities identified in the resolution: school districts, regional, state, and federal leaders, nine representatives of community members directly impacted by deportation activities. This included DREAMers, the New Portlanders Policy Commission, and coalitions who are actively convening a wide range of community, faith, service, and advocacy groups on this topic. Two representatives of civil rights and federal immigration law organizations, and two representatives of public safety and law enforcement. The task force met over Commissioner Udaly is right, over six work sessions between January 6th and February 13th to be able to present to you today. Why did we choose to work so quickly? One reason is the impact of the current national climate on immigrants and refugees. And the other reason is that the community is ready and we do not have the luxury of time. The legislature declared Oregon a sanctuary state in 1987. Also in the early 1980s, many Oregonians became familiar with the sanctuary movement, which was led by community and faith leaders offering shelter to Central American refugees fleeing civil conflict. For at least 30 years, Oregonians have been organizing across language, faith traditions, and generations to stop the separation of families through deportation. Thus, we knew we could act quickly, and even our fastest efforts would be overdue for communities seeking relief. The task force is eager to share their recommendations with you. I now turn it over to our representatives from the New Portlander Policy Commission to introduce themselves and the commission's work.
Thank you. So we have Wajdi, Saeed, Joe Enlet, and Maria Garcia. Come on up, please. Good afternoon and welcome. And again, just for the record, if you could state your names, we'd appreciate it. And we find these microphones work best if they're about 6 to 8 inches away and they just slide around. Thank you.
Maria Garcia.
Wajdi Saeed.
Thank you.
Colleague Fujito.
Thank you.
Before I make my formal statement and introduce myself, I would like to acknowledge the original caretakers of this land, the Kathlamet, Lower Chinook, Gladstone, Willapa, Wakiakum, Kathlamet tribes of the Chinook Nation. I further acknowledge that this land was not discovered, that it was in fact colonized, and the colonization is still taking place. With those acknowledgments, I will now proceed to my prepared remarks. Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. My name is Maria Garcia, a Mexican immigrant woman, a local business owner, and a co-chair of the New Portlanders Policy Commission. I'm honored to be speaking in behalf of the New Portlanders Commission and give testimony as the Latin representative in our beloved commission that has hosted this important Sanctuary City Task Force together with ONI and other community partners. Some of the values the New Portlanders Policy Commission stands for are solidarity, unity, recognition, and inclusion of our colorful and vibrant immigrant communities living in our loved city of Portland and metropolitan area. Many want immigrants to be here legally. Coincidentally, a legal status immigrants also want, a status that recognizes their existence and contributions to the U.S. in education, manufacturing, food and beverage industry, construction, and resorts. Without immigrant labor, the U.S. could not compete in the agriculture or textile industries. Food, hotels, or resorts would be too costly for most of us. Despite demand for immigrant labor for centuries, immigrants still fear for their freedom, livelihood, and their loved ones. Many families have children, parents, and siblings without legal status. Fortunately, many Oregonians understand that immigrants are a vital part of our future. Yet, many immigrants are struggling in access to education, healthcare, insurance, as well as legal and driving rights, and more important factor added to that long list of needs, funds to cover the expenses of proper legal representation in case a deportation takes place. Our community experiences workplace and domestic abuses. But due to fear of deportation, they are afraid to report these violations of their rights to safety and protection. I ask this Honorable City Council to be on the right side of history with us, with immigrants, and make sure our communities start gaining trust, knowing that the city that welcomes them is protecting them and supporting their efforts, keeping our families together. It's time to stand with immigrants, to stand for the human rights of everyone. Rights means to stand for the human rights of all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and City Council, for the opportunity to speak on the urgent need of support of our immigrant and refugee community. My name is Colini Fuzitua, co-chair of Equity in Practice Committee of the New Portlander Policy Commission. I'm also the president of the Tongan American Resource Committee. I have reached out to the Portland Police Bureau to start a dialogue with the current equity in practice and how we can support their work to better serve the underrepresented immigrant and refugee community. My goal on this commission is to reach out to all the city bureaus to build on what we are starting with the Portland Police Bureau. Our Pacific Island community in Oregon is the fastest growing community, according to Census 2010. We have over 12,000 Tukis from the Federated State of Micronesia seeking dry land here in Portland because of rising sea level and continued contamination from U.S. nuclear testing 50 years ago. Tongans first arrived here in Portland in the late 70s and established themselves in larger number in the 80s. Today, Portland's 1,200 Tongans are literally cornerstone of the city, well known for building stone walls around the Portland metro area. We have Chukis, we have Tongans, we have Tomoros, we have Marshallese, we have Samoan, we have Fijian that are constantly in fear because of the current political environment. We ask that you support our recommendation here today. It will help our Pacific Island community. As a member of the New Portlander Policy Commission and a program coordinator of ERCL, I witness every day the bonding together of New Portlander community as they see common goals. This is your opportunity to support our goals by accepting and adopting the following recommendation. In the island of Tonga, if you want to build a fishing canoe, you can fish. You can build it on your own, or you can ask a neighbor to help you. But if you want to build a canoe for a long voyage, everybody in the community have to touch the equipment and the wood that's building the canoe, because we want everybody's spirit within that canoe once it hit the water. Today, we ask you to be on a journey with us. We ask that you build a canoe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Dear respected mayor and distinguished member of the City of Council, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Wajdi Saeed. I'm the president of the Muslim Educational Trust and a member of the Beloved Community Coalition and the Arab and Jewish Muslim Dialogue, also a member of the Evangelical Muslim, Christian, and Jewish Network of 20 states. We met in Morocco 3 months ago, and we met again in Washington, D.C. recently. I'm honored to speak before you this afternoon in behalf of the New Portlander Policy Commissions. I speak to you as a proud immigrant by choice of an Arab and Muslim background, and a proud Portlander and a great citizen of this great country and a great citizen of this amazing world, which has so much potential to empower and engage each and every one of us, the citizens of this world. America has been built over the shoulders of immigrants, African slaves, refugees, and so many others that has contributed to this beautiful America that we share together today. It is very important that we nourish this multiracial and multiethnic and multi-faith society. We as a community-based organization and stakeholders in our common future have a moral and ethical responsibility to reclaim our personal narratives and define our public square towards healing, unifying, and creating common grounds for each one of us. Respected City Council, our former Mayor Porter is remembered for the creation of the Immigration and Refugee Task Force 10 years ago. 4 years ago, our respected Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Salzman and Commissioner Novick and our respected Commissioner Nick Fish, with the help of Mayor Hills, they are going to be remembered to create the Portlander Council that became the New Portlander Policy Commission. What will this council be remembered, dear mayor? It's all in your hand. It is very important to continue this journey, to carry on with this critical work to empower these immigrant communities, which everyone in this room once was, or their forefathers and foremothers were, and give their daughters and sons and grandchildren an opportunity to serve in the same capacity in which each one of you serving today, respected mayor and city officials. Now is the time to be proactive in addressing the needs of our new Portlanders, immigrants and refugees communities. Now it's the time to do the right thing. Respected mayor and city council members, as citizens, we need to be available to every single resident of Portland. We need to reason to be well engaged and successful. In this spirit, it is with that great enthusiasm and urgency that I recommend, that we recommend, and I personally recommend somebody that have worked in this community for 31 years to this city council, that no matter how much we put of money, how much we put of budget to defend these immigrants, it is important for us that we positively integrate by creating officially the Office of Immigrant and Refugees to be managed by the new Portlander Policy Commission under your leadership, Mayor. It is very important that we treat this new Portlander as we treat the Office of Equity and Human Rights. This, my dear respected city officials, is going to heal. It's going to heal the ethnic, the multiracial representation in this commission. It's going to heal, at least in my community, the 55 ethnic groups, the 70 languages that we speak at the Muslim Educational Trust. This office will be in charge of addressing the immediate and long-term needs of new Portlander refugees and immigrants. It's going to heal the issues of the past, the issues of today, and it's going to heal the issues of tomorrow. It will be in charge of positive integration. It will be in charge of claiming our public square beyond the color of our skin. In the light of the recent wave of Islamophobia, 75% of the total refugees are Muslims, coming from Muslim societies that our foreign policy has destabilized them. We need a permanent solution to address their issues. People need to be educated about the real story of the migrants and become conscious of how to overcome and move their stereotypes, to see people for who they are actually are instead of who they think they are. My dear respected mayor and city officials, racism has encountered us in so many ways. The anti-Jewish sentiments 100 years ago that reasoned and caused the Holocaust, the anti-African-American and continued, and the anti-Latinos, the anti-Asians, and so many things. My dear sisters and brothers, and allow me to call you that, because we are human beings, and human beings that need to heal and unify. My dear mayor and council members, we strongly wish and to make a bold statement and state the Office of Immigrant and Refugees Affairs within the new Portlander Policy Commission. If we seriously want to become welcoming and inclusive sanctuary city, then we have to find permanent solutions. These permanent solutions that go on beyond the budget that we assign, the 100,000 or the half a million or $1 million. Our next door neighbors, Seattle, have attracted multi-billion dollar companies in the name of integration of all its citizens to become an added value. Today, 67 of the high-tech companies attract international immigrants to become the new Americans who will take part in defining our collective future as a community. Let us stay away from the necessary politics to choose what is right, and not to do what we want to do as politicians. We are extremely lucky, my dear mayor and respected council, that we have people of our own. Somebody like Linda Castillo and Paulo Catalani, they are working hard every day to be that healers and unifiers, dear Mayor and City Council. And it is very important that we recognize such a contribution of two great individuals that rally behind them 25 ethnic groups. My dear Mayor and City Council, let us be honest with each other that we cannot heal the black and white narratives. We cannot heal the indigenous Native Americans. We cannot heal the challenges of yesterday unless we look collectively as human beings beyond of our color of skin. My dear Mayor, I hope one day that my children and grandchildren will remember you, that you are a troubleshooter. You are a troubleshooter because you are a smart, intelligent man. Commissioner Fritz, I know you very well before you became a politician, and I'm glad that you carry the legacy that you are doing, and I hope our Commissioner Udaly will do the same, and I hope our seasoned Polish leader, you know, Commissioner Fish and Salzman will do the same before Commissioner Salzman that depart from us into another level of engagement. We are looking forward that we create the Immigrant and Refugee Office under your leadership, Mayor, equal to the Human Rights and the Equity Office, where we heal permanently. We become that change of agents of positive integration. Thank you very much, dear Mayor and City Council members.
Thank you. And Wajdi, there's never any question when you leave the microphone what the ask is and what your expectation is. Thank you for that. Thank you, all three of you, for excellent testimony.
Okay, we have group two now. That is Eric Vega, Ricardo Varela, and Yesenia Ramos.
Welcome.
My name is Eric Vega.
Yesenia Ramos Pacheco.
Ricardo Varela Romero.
Thank you. My name is Eric Vega. I am representing the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition. I think the thing that I wanted to emphasize, the thing that is important to me, is that we approach this issue with a sense of urgency. Day after day, week after week, what we see are attacks on the immigrant community, from no bond hearings to broken families to young people who have only known this country being threatened with deportation, day after day, week after week, attacks. And so I think it's important that we just underline this idea that immigrants don't have time. They are in immediate jeopardy, and that with your help, we can begin to at least begin to address this problem. Today, immigrants are the object of concerted social and political attacks led by enforcement actions that are meant to make their lives anxious and painful. This punishment-centered strategy is coming from the top down, from Washington, D.C. down. But I'm sure you know that real change occurs from the bottom up, and that is what you represent. And what I think is most important is that what we do here today, the work of the task force and what we are talking about right now, is important because it's part of movement building. There is a movement away from a strictly law enforcement analysis of just putting on the sheriff hat and get out of town, y'all bad people, to one that recognizes that people are being displaced all around the world, that this is one of the critical issues of our time as we begin to use a human rights-based analysis to the question. There's a long history of struggle on this issue. Racial hostility and xenophobia run through various efforts to exclude and to hurt immigrants. And very quickly, I cite in my remarks the 1792 Naturalization Act, Chinese Exclusion Act, repatriation campaigns. The list goes on and on and on. And when you look at it, it's based on racial hostility. But we are moving beyond that. The actions that you take here show that we can move beyond that. in Texas in the 1980s, Texas sought to exclude immigrant children from public schools. And they wanted to make life so mean, to hurt them so much, that then they would go away. And the Supreme Court then, which is different than the one we have now, made the following observation. In Plyler v. Doe, they said there was no rational basis to deprive children of an education and that it did not comport with fundamental concepts of justice. I could tell you about Prop 187 in California. It mobilized a constituency, and what they wanted to do was hurt immigrants so that they would self-deport. But what happened instead was that the courts found it unconstitutional, and a huge progressive movement developed in California that is changing California to this day. Last year, our coalition held a consultation with immigrants and our allies, a couple of hundred people in a church, trying to analyze what do we do, how do we respond to the Trump agenda on immigration. And this is a summary of what we found. People wanted to know their rights. People wanted to have a rapid response strategy. People wanted family preparation strategies. People wanted some kind of a coordinated basic legal defense. People wanted government, local government, to defend human beings, to defend immigrants. That was what we came out of that church after reflection. Let me end by saying the Trumpian message is legally irresponsible, morally indefensible, and economically contradictory. The bottom-up message, which this here represents, is that this is not only an urgent issue, locally focused, pro-justice, anti-racist, but it is also part of a movement that we believe best exemplifies Portland. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
And City Commissioners. I would like to that you bear with me. English is my second language, but you know, I will do my best. So, my name is Ricardo Varela, and I have been a community organizer for the past 11 years. And also, I'm a co-founder of Oregon Immigrant Activists. I urge you to accept to adopt the task force recommendations. As an immigrant in the U.S., I have faced discrimination, racism, xenophobic action, and denial of services. But I'm not the only one, nor the last one. As immigrants in this society, we had to protest and resist the unfair actions against us. We constantly need to fight for access to service, to be treated with respect, to gain the trust and acceptance of our neighbors. Some of us, we go farther and have built organizations and coalitions amongst our communities to teach fellow immigrants how to navigate the legal, healthcare, housing, tributary, and cultural integration system without losing our identity. These organizations and groups address specific needs on our communities. Those communities that they serve, and they have been creating a large and helpful and resourceful network. These efforts had been designed for our people and had been taking place for at least 40 years. These groups are not able to keep with a growing need for such resources. 2006 was an especially important year for organizations that protect and serve immigrant communities in the country, because it was the year the inhumane immigration reform bills well proposed that were full of border militarization, as well the criminalization of anyone that assists undocumented immigrants or any background.
These threats and inhuman proposals created an urgency for the coordination of a plan to support all immigrant communities, regardless of their status, as well as an urgency to uphold and spread the values that the relevant organization and group supported, which include a humane immigration reform bill that we didn't see that. All organizations from all the sectors of the society come to the table, including faith communities, social service, legal service, grassroots organization, healthcare organization, etc. This is how Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition was born. During this difficult time, the PIRC started coordinating efforts in response for the forthcoming immigration raids and developed a rapid response team. On June 12, 2007, Portland has the most aggressive raid in its history. Over 160 people was detained, creating public issues, liability for the schools, overloading our social services, and a collective panic amongst our immigrant community, especially on our mixed-status families. Schools didn't have a system to support all the children affected, nor an easy way to communicate to them the reasoning behind why their parents didn't show up. Thanks to the rapid response team, created almost a year prior, organizations were able to mobilize volunteers all across the city and start tackling the needs of both the people detained and their families, including needs relating to housing, legal service, social services, mental health services, etc. I want to make a note here because in Postville, Iowa, almost went to bankruptcy in 2008 after they spent $5.2 million in the aftermath of a massive raid where 400 people were detained. Although it never was calculated how much this raid cost to the city of Portland, immigrant-related organizations assisting the city by providing volunteer pro bono work during the aftermath of the raid, the affected families, and providing them with important resources. Since then, organizations have worked to educate immigrants about their legal rights as workers, community members, and human beings, have created emergency plans, and have distributed such plans through workshops and popular education methods. Community members have joined the rapid response team to educate themselves and the tools and technological resources that were created by organizations around the country to protect immigrant rights. Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition hosted a 24/7 bulletin driving hotline in Portland metro area to provide support to immigrants affected by ICE activity, with a secondary system to community members with the resources to connect community members with the resources that they need based on their cases. On July 2017, the hotline became statewide, and the rapid response structure was implemented successfully in other cities and counties of Oregon in response to the constant attack for immigrant communities. But it is still in the early stages of development in many of the chapters due to the lack of resources. Although the pro bono immigration legal services has been exhausted, attorneys are still trying to find ways to create access to legal services for immigrant communities. Our communities have organized to eradicate unconstitutional and immoral policies such as ICE holds. A no ICE hold campaign succeeded in a policy that was implemented in Multnomah County, no before we had to have people get detained and wait inside of the Washington Multnomah County Jail and see on first hand how we were treated, even that we didn't have previous record. This policy created a precedent, and it was then replicated in other parts of Oregon. The faith communities stepped up and were ready to host an accompanying minors when the city was going to receive a high number of them. But there wasn't anything in place to quickly connect the host to the minors that were in need. Innovation Lab has created a simplified structure we can help one to understand all the volunteer pro bono, lo bono work the organization are currently doing to protect and serve the immigrant communities within the last 12 years. And this structure has also identified the areas where support is still needed. It is imperative for keeping our immigrant communities protected to create a welcoming environment for the immigrants. And that the task force recommendations 1 and 2, I urge you to be accepted, adopted, and implemented as quickly as possible. Within universal representation, to ensure that there is an adequate legal representation for the immigrants, and within an independent office on immigrant support to create additional capacity for the community-based organizations and to help coordinate efforts with local, county, and state agencies to further protect our immigrant communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Yesenia Ramos Pacheco. I'm 17 years old and a senior at Reynolds High School. My pronouns are she and her. I'm a member of the Youth Against Violence Subcommittee on the Multnomah Youth Commission. I have lived in Rockwood my entire life, which has also allowed me to truly know my neighbors and has also helped me learn about my community needs. I'm passionate about the work that the task force has been doing in developing recommendations that will protect immigrants and refugees. I am here today to testify in support of the policy recommendations that have been developed and finalized by the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force. I ask you to take these recommendations into serious thought and soon adopt them. I'm a daughter of immigrant parents, a niece to immigrants' aunts and uncles, a cousin to immigrant cousins, and a friend to immigrant friends. I have witnessed my family as well as other families in my community be negatively affected by the deportations by U.S. and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. With recent political issues, I have noticed an incredible increase of fear within my community. My father has been fighting his deportation case for the past 4 years. His final court day is to be on April 2nd, his birthday. My siblings and I have constantly feared and have been worried about the possibilities of our family separation. I am an active member of the Oregon National Guard and find it disturbing that as I serve this state and country, my parents can be taken far away from me. During 2010 and 2014, more than 71,000 children in Oregon live with at least one undocumented parent. These are children who depend on their parents to meet all their essential needs. Parents being detained, taken away, or disappearing causes a trauma to these children. If the parents are taken away, the children's emotional stability, security, housing, and daily needs, such as clothing and food, are then taken away as well. As of 2016, about 15,000 youth in Oregon were eligible for DACA. I know many of these youth. They are my peers. DACA has given them a sense of security and rights in this country, such as having the ability to work, attend school, and receive medical care. Access to these rights increases the livability of our community, but it has been a continuous battle for them to keep the security. Imagine having to be taken back to a place you don't recognize, a place in which you know no one, a place all alone, confused, and lost. The youth that fear their own deportation, youth with DACA, as well as youth like myself who have undocumented parents, live with fear, stress, and worry every day of their lives. This affects their capacity for success in all other areas of their lives, like education, jobs, and other activities. These are more than abstract policy decisions. This is an issue that is impacting thousands of real people right now. People in our community, people like me and my family. Therefore, we need you to adopt the policy recommendations right away. Thank you for your time, your attention, and support.
Thank you for your testimony, and also thank you for mentioning your National Guard service. I think that was important, and I want to thank you for your service.
Thank you.
It's appreciated very, very much. Thanks, all three of you, for your eloquent testimony. Well done.
All right, if we could have our third panel come forward, Shanpon Sinlapasi, Roberto Gutierrez, and Alberto Moreno.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be present, and we're very honored to serve in this very important task as we continue to fight for human rights. My name is Shapon Sinlapasai Okamura. I am here in wearing multiple hats, but first and foremost, I'm here representing the American Immigration Lawyers Association. I am currently serving as their pro bono coordinator. I am on the front lines of deportation clinics at the airport. I'm the one that's sent out, usually working with all the other nonprofits and our community leaders. Second, I have been serving for the last 8 years as the AILA ICE liaison. I have been coordinating with our co-liaison on how to better improve the programs that we work with in terms of the community efforts and how to protect what we do to make sure that every family member, every child, and every person is heard. My testimony today is more about facts. Today, I want to share with the mayor and our commissioners, but also our community, about the numbers that really impact Oregonians, not just nationally, but here locally. I am a family and am a child of refugees. I continue to hold that sacred to me. That, under this current administration, is still under attack. So I speak for all of our communities today. In Oregon, we have a very sizable community of immigrants. Often, immigration is referred to as a Latino issue, but I want to reaffirm that this is a community issue. All of us are affected, regardless of our ancestry. I have provided today a lot of data. These are numbers for you and your staff to review, to take a closer look about economically, but emotionally, about the family unity, and how many kids are really at risk. The top countries of Oregon are in Oregon is, yes, from Mexico, 37%. The second largest is China at 6%. The third, Vietnam at 5.2%. India at 4.1%. But surprising to all of us is 3.6% Canadian. This is the vast numbers and the dynamic diversity that's within our state. I want to explain a little bit about why this is important and what has changed in our community. Our families are afraid. They're afraid because right now the rhetoric makes everyone a target. In Oregon, 1 in 10 Oregonian residents is an immigrant. And last year, when
the Census Bureau took data 498,870 people in Oregon. That's about 12.4% of the state's population were native born with one immigrant parent. We are a nation and a state of mixed families. We have families who may have a U.S. citizen parent or a parent who's a legal permanent resident or in process or an undocumented parent or a brother or sister on DACA. This is what we are seeing on the front lines right now.
Can you put the previous slide up? Because some people might be like me and find it easier to read.
Yes.
That one, yeah.
There you go. And so it's very important for us to look at how we are and who we are in the state of Oregon. 191,777 were women. 180,488 were men. 25,028 were immigrant children. These are the numbers that make up Oregon. But I'm not going to highlight everything. I want you guys to review that on your own time. Today, I want to talk about the important numbers that we need to look at in our rhetoric about DACA, which is coming to an end, possibly March 5th, 2018. That is a very short time period. This is a critical time. DACA in Oregon, we have over 10,000 deferred action for childhood arrivals. As of 2016, 82% of DACA-eligible immigrants lived in Oregon, and 12,049 had applied for DACA. It's very important for us to know that even though there was 12,000, not all of them renewed. Some of them adjusted status to get their green card, but many of them did not out of fear of our own president and the current administration. The DACA clinics that we held, we had students show up, families. And although we had pro bono attorneys to help them, the consulates to aid them to pay for their fees, they refused to move forward. This is the reality in Oregon. And why is this the reality and why is this important? I want to talk now a little bit about the immigration removal process. During our meetings, it came to light that there's a lot of misconception about how a person is taken and what happens to them. And we stress the urgency because immigration removal, as many of my colleagues and co-presenters will talk about, happens very, very quickly. A person can be picked up, what we refer to as public space. The courthouse has been the attention of everybody, everywhere. But we've had arrests at hospitals. We've had arrests in front of schools. These are what our parents and our children are afraid of. This is why there's less numbers in our colleges, in our schools, people going to hospital reporting crimes. This is our reality. Second,
excuse me again.
Yes.
Carla, is there any way we can get that up on the screen? The chart that's behind the presenter.
We'll ask the person up at Open Signal if you can get a tight shot of that on the A board in here.
You might still have the presentation up on here, though.
You want to get the picture there?
Yeah, because I think it's really helpful to be able to see
yes.
it as well as listen.
It's got to be one or the other, I think, up there.
Oh. I think that's more important right now in terms of looking at the flow and the urgency.
We're working on it. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Sorry, do go on. I didn't
okay. So the three main locations where people are picked up are public spaces, which I just mentioned, in their home, outside their home, or in places where they're living or visiting. Third, often you hear about is work. So there are different agencies that you hear. There is a difference between Immigration Customs Enforcement and Homeland Security Investigation. HSI is who will show up at work. ICE does the arrests for the top two. It usually happens early morning. For us ALA attorneys who have to show up to try to intercept any arrests, we must try to get a family member released in Portland from any arrest within our metro area by 2 p.m. ICE will tell you 3, but often the bus leaves before we get there. So this is critical because jurisdiction moves from Oregon to Tacoma once they get on that bus. And it's a lot harder for us to try to get bond, recognizance, or release on supervision in Portland. And the people that we as ALA attorneys have to work with, our counterpart over there, is a lot harder in Seattle than it is in Portland. This is our reality. And when we talk about how to protect Oregonians, if they are taken to Tacoma, the first and foremost thing we try to do, and right now, is bond, getting them released on bond. As you've heard, the Supreme Court in the Rodriguez litigation has just ruled that a person, even green card holders, can be detained indefinitely. There's no more 6-month periodic review. So if a person comes to the airport and they're an asylee and they're brought in and they're telling their story, they can be detained until they prove their case. This changes what we as ALA attorneys need to do and to fight collectively as a nation. They're detained for about a month and a half before we get a bond hearing. And that person may be innocent. And I want to point to the fact that administrative arrests by ICE in their report has increased double numbers. That's over 13%. That's administrative. That's people with no criminal history, what we refer to as collateral, as what they refer to that we use to help explain. But their master hearing, their individual hearing, this can be detention for up to 6 months to multiple years. Under the new Supreme Court ruling, a person may have to fight if they're a human trafficking victim, if they're an asylee, if they're a refugee trying to defend their case, and they're a green card holder, they can be detained their entire time without recourse. That, in and of itself, is horrific. If they are released on bond, they'll come through the same process, but in Portland. This issue is a human rights issue. We have to consider it as a human rights issue. These are our families. When I talk to my brother Kolini or my brother Wajdi, our families are hurting. They're separated. It affects each and every one of us. These are babies we're trying to deport. I had to go to court with a 6-year-old unaccompanied minor. No one wanted him there. Our heart all broke. The judge just told me never to bring him back and that we will continue this hearing. But this is the reality of our current administration and the fight that we must embark on. These people here who are fighting with you, standing before you, these are pro bono love and care for our community. With all our hearts, we request and humbly urge that you please implement this resolution today, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. That was helpful. And by the way, thank you for the data deck, too. This is actually great information. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Mayor Willer and Portland City Council members, for the record, my name is Roberto Gutierrez. I am the policy director for the Immigrant Inclusion Rights Architecture Plan through Oregon Ready, and I work at CAUSA. I am joined by many of my colleagues, including Elena Jacob, Oregon Ready's coordinator, and Aaron Pettigrew, the rights attorney, who are here in the audience today. Oregonians now, more than ever, need effective representation in immigration proceedings. Oregonians are being detained and deported because of the federal administration's shift in immigration policy that has created a mass detention and deportation campaign, resulting in the separation of families here in our community. This effect is felt not only here in Portland, but in cities across the nation. Following the administration's early 2017 executive orders, total immigration arrests have increased by 38% over the same period in 2016. And arrest of individuals without a criminal conviction has increased by 157%. This month, ICE arrested over 100 Californians in actions publicized as a retaliation against the state's sanctuary policies. We must invest in our Oregonians because the city of Portland is a sanctuary city too. Representation ensures due process of law. It is even more critical during the pivotal moment of our history when the administration is acting in a lawless manner and that has compounded our representation crisis. Federal courts have yet to extend representation as a fundamental right in immigration proceedings. However, the Supreme Court has recognized the right to appointed counsel is a matter of fairness. The Oregon Constitution echoes this fairness, fundamental foundation of fairness, as well. Despite this commitment of fairness, Oregonians are in unfair positions because of the administration's deportation campaign. 8 out of 10 unrepresented Oregonians are separated from their families because they lack access to counsel. Oregon courts have recognized the impact of deportation here because a deported person may be required to sever family ties, become impoverished, and return to a society in which he or she no longer can function, and in many, indeed, face life-threatening conditions.